Good morning. Scripture reading comes from Romans 8, 15 through 17, some of Paul's words on the Holy Spirit. Please follow along with me. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. The word of the Lord.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful morning you've given us here and for the opportunity to be out in your house once again. Lord, we think of the missions focus this month of Uruguay, and we just lift this nation up to you. We pray for all those that are reaching out, and we just ask, Lord, that you would guide and direct. We think of our physical needs this morning. Lord, we lift Diane Foster up to you. We ask, Lord, that you would be her healer at this time today. Lord, we thank you for seeing Pastor James through all that he's been through, and we just pray that you would continue to work in his life and bring him to us here next week. We think, Lord, of the loss of Jesse Copeland, and we lift his family up to you, Lord, especially Sandy at this time. Lord, just comfort and heal throughout this. Now, Lord, as we had the opportunity this morning to see a group off headed for life, we just pray that you would be with them right now as they travel. Give them safety, Lord. Protect them and guide them and help them to have a wonderful trip. Lord, we pray that you would really do a miracle at this conference, as you always do, Lord. We know that you are there. Now, Lord, as we had the opportunity for Pastor Pete Canizera to be with us again this morning, I just pray, Lord, that you would use him in great and mighty ways to guide and direct us, Lord. Help us be attentive to your word and what you would have for us today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and in your name we pray. Amen.
Would you please stand? We're going to sing together hymn number 2, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which wert and art and evermore shalt be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love. my work shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Please be seated.
Our speaker today is Pastor Pete Canizzaro. He has been with us so many times, he almost doesn't need an introduction anymore. Seems like just one of the group. And I didn't bother James to try to find out if he wanted any stories told him about today or not. So I thought we'd give Pete a break. So let's welcome Pete.
Thank you, Chris. Good morning, everybody. What I want to say right now is a little bit off the script. I didn't plan to say this. But I don't know if you noticed during worship there was a moment. It seemed as if God was saying, yes, I've come. Did you get that moment? It was there. And over these next 5 years, I've devoted my life to study what it means to encounter God and let Him do the soul care of my life in order for me to be able to do that for those that are coming up in the emergent generation. And so the next 5 years, that's what I'll be doing. And I wasn't planning on telling you this, but I just finished studying the life of Teresa of Avila. Has anybody ever heard of Teresa of Avila? During the Reformation in Germany and Europe, we always hear about Luther and Zwingli and Calvin, these amazing leaders God raised up. But if you go south to Spain, there was a woman named Teresa of Avila. Google her name to this afternoon and study her life briefly that Google provides. But you will see that she was a woman that knew how to encounter God. She devoted her life of spelling out what that looks like because she raised up leaders that she wanted to train to know how to know God and encounter God and know when He's drawing close and when you're drawing close, what that looks like, what that's required, what the Scriptures teach about that. And I could not put the book down. I was compelled to keep reading because I realized this woman, she knew how to connect with God and hear from God, and she said things that made me go, I want to go where she went, kind of thing, right? You know, have you heard about people that you aspire, that you like? And all of us have our own kind of heroes and people that we look up to and people that kind of, when we're around them or when we read books about them, there's something about them that's magnetic. We're drawn to it because that may be saying something about your calling, how God wired you, and so you've learned from them. And so I encourage you to do that. And maybe this afternoon, if any of you are interested, let's Google her. And you got to go further than what Google provides, though. There's a lot of material on her life. And I don't know, man. Whatever Moses had with God, I want. Whatever David had with God, I want. Whatever Jesus had with God, I want. And I can have. And it's been offered. Let me tell you a story. I've told you this in the past, but there are parts of it that you don't know. So you get the other side of the story. Is that okay with you? Are we there? All right. A couple years ago, I was in Stavanger, Norway, and I was in the worship service. I was there for 2 weeks. I was there leading the College of Prayer. In our ministry, we've developed leaders, we train leaders, we build our lives into leaders, they build into us. It's a great friendship. I was there for 2 weeks. I was getting ready to speak. I was sitting down. This woman from Africa got up to speak. Now, it'd always been my dream to be in Norway. And so when I was in Norway, it was like a dream come true since I was in high school. And so here I'm in Norway. I mean, I'm just loving it. I mean, I could not get enough of the country. But as I'm getting ready to preach on Sunday, this woman gets up to sing, and immediately God begins to show up in a manifest, strong presence of the Lord. And I'm losing it. I mean, I'm just a basket case is a good word. I'm losing composure. I'm crying. I'm thinking, I've got to get up and speak after this. So I kind of put things together. I said, Lord, what is going on here? And he spoke very clearly, you are going to return the blessing today. What you don't know is that the church that I grew up in New York, immigrants from Norway had come, planted the church, I came to Christ, and now here I am under the blessing and calling of God, going back to Norway and returning the blessing of what they brought to me. Isn't that great? That God would bless me with his presence, returning the blessing to the people that ministered to me. Do you know what? That's why I love Norwegians. If you're Norwegian here, we're going to hang out after. I'm drawn to Norwegians. And it's not the accent, by the way. It's just because it's... And every Winter Olympics, I'm like, go Norway! Kids, my kids would be like, Dad, aren't you for the U.S.? Yeah, but go Norway! What I want to do with you this morning is take a look at what Paul said of Romans 8 and begin to understand what we have in Christ by the Holy Spirit and how to foster an environment, both personally or corporately, if you want to, but I'm looking at it more personally, where you can foster an environment and a lifestyle where you encounter God on a more regular basis. Because the scriptures teach where two or three are gathered in my name, what did Jesus say? I'm in the midst. When James said, draw near to God, God will what? Draw near to you. If God is all present, what difference does it make? It's because he chooses to show himself, manifest himself. When you go to Exodus 17 and Moses is praying for Israel, he's interceding. God shows up, Israel advances. When Moses put his arms down, that means he stopped praying. Israel retreated. What is that? Look at Exodus 17. It's God manifesting his presence. And so I want to live my life in that place. And so I'm looking at Romans 8 with you guys. Let's read it again. Romans 8. Romans 8, verses 15 to 17. Okay, the screen is up. Let me read it to you. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you've received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. What's the context here? Romans 7 is about the struggle, the tension, the battle. I don't do what I need to do, and what I should do, I don't do. And sometimes you think to yourself, how do I get out from this battle? Romans 8 is the answer to that. And Paul comes in here and he drives home. There are basically two spirits in the world today that are in operation. In my classes, one of the people that I've met is Professor Rob Reamer. He is a pastor in the Boston area. Whenever he was teaching, I was glued. He just finished writing a book called The Pathways to the King. I highly recommend this book, Pathways to the King. It's basically six pathways in which we can foster in our life where we encounter God more on a regular basis. And he talks about these. And so I'm going to talk about one of those pathways that he mentions. It's called personalizing your identity. That's what I want to do with you, is how do you personalize your identity with God? When you do that, you set yourself up to encounter God more in your life. If we don't do this, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't do this, I have found that my faith begins to shrink. My hope in God begins to dwindle. My sense of who I am and where I am and where I'm going begins to get very foggy, and I get disillusioned, and it begins to kind of settle, and it's not a great place to be. And nothing can get me out of this funk. I've tried movies and books and food. Only God can get me out of that place. I've learned that. If you're not fostering a relationship with God where you're encountering Him, it's like the word picture I get that I use with people. It's like, imagine you as a family living in a house. I just met Pastor Jim. Jim, four generations in the same house. Isn't that incredible? That's great. I love history like that. But imagine in his family, you relate to each other and communicate to each other and encounter each other within your own rooms. So everybody is in this in their own rooms in the house, but you're communicating through walls and floors. And if you were able to observe this, how absurd and humorous it would be, right? If you said things like, "Oh, honey," as he says to his wife or to his mother, "it's so great to be so close to you. Yeah, this is wonderful." Wouldn't it be odd communicating through walls and floors, but you're in the same house? You're in the family. And so what are those walls and floors? In the soul, I have learned it is unresolved issues. It's all kinds of lies we listen to. And the number one I'm looking at today is we've got to foster an environment in life where we personalize our identity with God. We need to know He calls us by name. And so that first kingdom pathway to encounter God on a more regular basis is to personalize your identity. Let's look at Romans 8, two sides of the coin. The first side is what God has done. What has God done? This is essential. Before I jump to Romans 8, look how Jesus lived, right? Study His life. When He's talking, what is He saying all the time? My Father, this, and my Father, that. Look how He refers to Himself. The Son never does anything except what the Father does. He's always referring to Himself as the Son and the Father. That is where it's at. How do you perceive yourself? How do you reflect on yourself? When Jesus, remember when He was 12 years old and His parents had left the festival, right? And they all of a sudden, Jesus is not there and they're frantically looking for Him. Remember? Remember Mary's response to Him when they find Him in the temple? Son, why did you do this to us? Do you hear her hurt? Do you hear her pain a little bit? You know, we thought we lost you. Jesus does not apologize at all. He says to them, didn't you know that I'd be in my Father's house? Do you see how He saw Himself? When He taught us to pray, He started out with relationship, not worship, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed worship be your name. Not that relationship isn't worship, but identifying yourself with our Father. I love calling God Father because that means a lot to me. Because my view of Father was skewed because of being a child of a divorced family. And God's still working on that in my life. This is how Jesus operated. So Paul gets into this. Paul gets into sonship and father in Romans, and he begins to talk. And this is the first thing God has done. God picked you to be His. God picked you to be His. This is what adoption is. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. Ephesians says this in Ephesians 1:4-5. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. I like this spell. I like what God has done here. God knows there's two spirits in operation in the world. The first one is the spirit of the world, the spirit of a slave, the spirit of fear. This is what is in full throttle today. You look at Egypt and you can see it's in full operation. It's obviously other things, anger and pride and who's going to rule and all that's going on over there. But it's this idea of fear, who's going to dominate, who's going to lead. This fear is in the world and we are affected by it. Paul acknowledges that. The spirit of fear and the spirit of sonship, that God is working, trying and seeking and looking to help us hear from Him who we are, that we are His. But the basis of this picking, I love, is that He picked us before the foundation of the world. Remember, this is very important to remember. Why? Everything in your life at this point when you're selected is based on your performance and your behavior and how you do. Your jobs, your college, your grad school, whatever it is, your performance, your grades, how you do, is it not? Right? And that mentality comes with it sometimes fear. Will I get to this college? Will I get this job? Will we be able to handle the finances? Will we be able? Fear, fear, fear. Right? Not always, but you got to know how that is affecting your life. Paul said it, right? It makes you a slave again, living under this. And I encourage you, be aware of how it's impeding in your life. But the scripture says he chose us before the foundations of the world. You know why I like this? He picked me before I could try to impress him. He picked me before I could do anything to try to earn it. He picked me before I could try to do anything to somehow feel good about being approved. No, the basis of his picking is him before the foundation of the world. He picked it. He picked you. That's it. Isn't that great? I still have in my picture, a picture in my mind, being in grade school where you know how it is, you go outside and all right, it's time to play kickball and everybody lines up, you know, and I remember lining up and Tim, I'm trying to remember the other guy, Doug, were the two captains. And I remember being in line. I was always picked first. That's just kind of how it was. I was an athlete. That's how I lived. I was given skills. God gave it to me. I was picked in sports all the time. Academics, a little farther down the line. I've had to work at that. I always thought your father would get a doctorate. Now I'm the one getting it. And I'm struggling. I need his help. And I remember Sarah always was picked last. Little Sarah. I can still see her black and white plaid outfit and her little blue pro keds. They look like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood little sneakers, you know. Boy, I'm really reaching back in history with that statement. I confess. And she was always last. And she had her little, you know, ponytail braided hair. So, and I couldn't tell how she took it. She just accepted it. But everything was based on performance. You were picked based on performance, right? In God's economy, it's not that way at all. He picked you before you could do anything. He picked you. He picked you to be sons and daughters. He selected you. Some of you here have adopted today. This theme is huge. It says the scriptures are intrigued. The angels are intrigued by this experience of ours because they've always been with him. But what's it like when you're not his and then you become his? Wow. They peer into salvation with great interest. He picked you. Remember God's side. The other side of that is that you've got to learn to understand when you're under the operation of the spirit of this age, the spirit of fear, because God wants you to know I picked you, but he also wants you to know how the fear is impeding upon your relationship with him. A lot of us will perform and do things throughout the day. It's amazing throughout the week. Where we want to feel a sense of worth, of value with our peers and our colleagues and our coworkers and our employees or whatever. And we resort to things that make our esteem feel better if we do things well. And it's okay to feel a sense of confidence in the things that you do well. But if that is by which the river by which we drink in terms of feeling a sense of worth from, you are in trouble if you drink from that water fountain for a long time. The fountain to drink from is the Son. I am his son. This is my identity. This is who I am. This is my worth. As daughter, as son. This is what he's after. Paul knew this. He had to go after the spirit of fear. The other thing God does is God elevates a level of intimate conversation by the Holy Spirit. Verse 16. God elevates a level of intimate conversation by the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Isn't this great? It's a direct line. Something has changed once we become sons and daughters. The Holy Spirit now comes and there is this access, there is this channel by which we can communicate. and by which he communicates with us. He does not stop. He does not linger. He does not hesitate. He doesn't go out to lunch. This is his full-time work right here. You're my son. You're my daughter. I will take care of you. I know the battle's hard, but you're mine. And no one will take you from my hand. No one can snatch you. This is what the Holy Spirit does. I love this one-on-one. He testifies with our spirit. It's not with someone else. It's with you. Direct line. That's what it's after. And therefore, I want to clean that line, right? I don't want anything to impede upon that, right? His spirit, large S, communicates with our spirit, small s. So whatever is impeding upon that, that I'm not hearing as clearly, I want to deal with. I want to uncover. I want to shred out. I want it to be removed. And Teresa of Avila talks about how to do that. That's what I want to do. If I take you up here, Hannah, and I put you there, and I have five people around you to tell you who you might be or you think you are, or, and begin to get you to think about performance and the spirit of fear and all that's going on, and there's just one voice behind you, you're going to hear those five before you hear the one. And you've got to learn to be able to recognize who is speaking and how God speaks in the midst of all the other voices. You've got to learn to distinguish those voices. I'll never forget, after a 40-day fast, all the voices in my mind became very clear. I could tell, that's the enemy, that's my flesh, that's my past, that's God. It was great. I was ready for another 40-day fast. No. I wanted food. I wanted it bad. And boy, was I terrible. I ate cheeseburgers and pizza. And it was like my flesh was unleashed. It was horrible. It was like the flesh was contained for a period of time. And then it was like, oh, it was, ugh. Anyway, I'm just being human. All right, let me be human. I'm human. You gotta listen. God elevates the level of intimate conversation by the Holy Spirit. Listen to him. Know those voices. Recognize it's going to be a tension at times. Know how to receive it. I was helping a guy the other day in a painting business, and we were in a nursery, not a nursery ward, a retirement community. And Mike was one of the co-workers of my friend. I was just helping him out in my painting business with him. We were working together. And Mike was working in an area where he was working with a sprinkler head, and apparently he did something, and we don't know absolutely what happened, but what he did was, when he turned the sprinkler head, it ignited and exploded, or not exploded, but I heard it. It was pop! And then all this air pressure came out, and then eventually water came out, and all chaos broke out. Because here we are in a retirement community of 100 and something, and the sprinkler system came on. It was chaos. But I'm looking, trying to evaluate what is going on. I look at Mike and I look at his hand, and the top of his finger is about to come off. So I said, Mike, come with me. Let's go. Let's get some ice on that. Let's put some water on that. And I said, all right, we jumped in the van. I put the GPS. We're trying to find the hospital. Here we are in a rush. I'm praying for him. I'm praying with him, praying over him. Just praying healing and all these things. And Mike's receiving it. But in the midst of all this, we're like, where's this hospital? The GPS led us to two temporary, during the day, hospitals. So we were getting flustered and frustrated. And we kept praying. And I said to Mike, just to loosen it up, well, since we're lost and we're not to the hospital yet and your finger's falling off, would you like a Starbucks? And he looked and said, well, why don't you go get some gas while you're at it? And I'm going, yes. Because he's keeping light. Because you got to keep, he was losing blood and all this. We get to the hospital. We sit down, and he looks at me and he says, Pete, do you see that woman over there? God wants us to pray for her. Let's go over and pray with her. And I'm like, part of me is like, wow. The other part of me is like, yes. Like, this guy is hearing from God in the midst of this chaos. So I go over to him and his wife and tell him, hey, we're here. We were in painting outfits, so it was very clear what our occupation was. So we'd like to pray for your wife. Is that okay? He said, sure. As we're praying for them and talking to them and praying, I'm looking at him the whole time, and he does not know how at all to receive just basic love. You could see him. He kind of was like, because he was probably trying to figure it out. Well, you're not with the hospital staff. You're painters, and you're praying for my wife. He didn't know how to receive it. He just didn't know how to receive that. The scripture says, I believe it's Romans 5. Let me show you what I'm talking about as sonship. Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. Listen to this. How do you foster an environment? How do you foster a life? You've got, we're going to get to that a little more specifically, but listen to this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access to the Father, okay, by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. When you want to encounter God, when you want to have more of that encounter with him, we have to personalize our identity. What the Holy Spirit will do when you do that, he will pour out the love of the Father in your heart. Mike, here he was in crisis, his finger was almost off, and he was able to, in that moment, have the love of God in his heart and give the love of God from his heart to someone else who is in crisis. So how do you foster that? You've got to learn first how to receive it and receive his presence and more and more and more. I'll tell you how to do that from our end. Those are God's two parts. Here's our two parts. Here's our part, verse 17. Now, if we are children of God, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If we're co-heirs with Jesus, that means that we can be as close to God as Jesus was. Think about that. Jesus, the Son of God, who came from God, begotten of God, we're co-heirs with him. That means that we can be as close to God as he was. We're not God. We're sons adopted. We just learn. But we're co-heirs with him. That means we can relate and receive and be as close to the Father as Jesus was. Now, do you want that? You have to ask yourself that. Do I want to be that close? And sometimes the journey to get that close is really hard. After I made a commitment to this closeness with God, my friend said to me, now God is going to test you on that commitment. And over the last several months, man, I've had some tests, boy, and it was hard. But it's out of love, right? Hebrews, he disciplines us for our good. That's God. That's him. Co-heirs. Co-heirs with him. Co-heirs. So how do we personalize our identity more? Here's what I want to encourage you. How you do that. You have the same amount of time in life as I do. You have 24 hours. You have 7 days a week. So we're all on a level playing field, correct? Some of you have more education than I do. Some of you are more intelligent than I am. Some of you have more talents in other areas. That's fine. That's how God's made us. However, we all have the same amount of time. With the time, we've got to give God more space in our lives to be able to speak into our hearts. What I said to you last week was, right, that I used to listen to sports radio 3-4 hours a day, because when the painting business, when I'm not pastoring or preaching or whatever, I'm doing painting business. And so for 8 hours, I'm alone in a house or outside. That's a lot of time. And so I would listen to sports radio. And I could tell you everything about the NFL that you ever wanted to know, and some of you could care less. But what I decided to do was give God space. So I knocked that out. For some of you, it needs to be something else. give him space that you normally would put into your head. Turn him off so that you can start to listen to his voice. And for some of us, it's going to take time because there's a lot of competing voices, and sometimes some of those voices we don't want to hear because it's hard. And this is where I encourage you, be mentored. Follow someone that knows how to get to the presence of God. You know, and I met with my mentor this week, just kind of worked through some stuff in my life. In other words, the key here is how provide space so that God can do that. Secondly, God says here in the text in Romans, share in his sufferings. Here's a thought that I want to leave with you and I'll wrap it up. I can't believe I forgot it. I'm so bummed. I just finished studying Mother Teresa's life. I think all of you know who Mother Teresa is, right? If someone here does not know, if you don't know who Mother Teresa was, could you raise, oh, that would be terrible. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not a good question. But the idea is, we all know about her, don't we? There was a book that came out about 8-10 years ago called Come Be My Light. It is all her private journals of her walk with God. Now, you can debate whether or not that should have been published by the church, but I'm glad. And I read her story of her journey with God. You'd be amazed what this woman went through. In 1947, I was going to read it to you, but I don't have it. She's in Loretta in India in a convent working, and she goes away with God for 3 days to pray. And God speaks to her and says, this is what I want you to do. It's an amazing what she wrote down the Lord said to her. Two things I'll say to you is this. I want you to come and be a light for me, but I want you to satiate the pain that the poor of the poor in Calcutta are experiencing. In other words, as they suffer, I suffer. And if I suffer, I want to bring you there with me because I want to have a relationship with you where you satiate my pain, my suffering for the children. And I want you, in essence, to give them dignity and love. I want you to smile and bless them so that when they leave this life, if they're joined with me, then they'll join with me after. Do you see the vision God gave her? Sharing in his sufferings? I don't know about you, but when I'm suffering, sometimes I rail against God. I get angry. Rather than see that as an opportunity for God to come and to speak into my emptiness, to speak into my darkness, when you study her life, what you find is that for years, Mother Teresa, years, walked in seasons of emptiness and darkness and suffering. And she had mentors, priests that she would consult in privacy about how do I walk through this darkness. And I'm reading this going, I understand that. But at the same time, I'm going, boy, she was way down. I mean, just hard darkness. Sharing in his sufferings, finding an intimacy with him that kind of is sort of foreign. Paul is saying here, share in his suffering. All of you here will suffer. We don't have a choice about that, but we do have a choice of how we will suffer, correct? I'm beginning to study A.B. Simpson's life. That man suffered, but he was able to find God in the midst of it. I studied him and I saw that he was near a nervous breakdown because of the weight of responsibility of leading this movement and the finances and the people and the deaths and he reached a point where he almost had a nervous breakdown. And I thought, wow, how did he walk with God during those times? And I'm beginning to study and study and study. Jesus invites you. That's it. Let me give you three little practical things and I'll close this up. Number one, listen to your name with God. Learn to identify when he calls you by name. Peter, Peter, recognize the name. He calls you by name, right? What's the first thing he says to Moses? Moses. Moses. There's something about our name, right? When they called your name at graduation, right? Hannah Stork. I'm sure James did not cry at all. But when your name is called, it's like, wow, that's me. Yeah. Learn to identify when God calls you by name. Secondly, listen to him. Listen for him in pain. Because as C.S. Lewis says, he speaks with greater authority, it seems, and greater magnitude in our suffering, more so than our successes. And secondly, listen to those around you very closely. And I'm amazed at how much my wife Ellen is so far ahead of me on some things about what God's doing in my life than I am. It's almost as if she watches, right? And, you know, and she's gracious, but I'm sure sometimes, I'm sure sometimes Nancy, she wants to, hey, knucklehead, this is what he's saying. Listen, right? But she would not do that. I'm sure she's been tempted to do that. Maybe she said that to her friends, you know. But I encourage you. We were made to encounter God. We were made to experience him. I don't always like to use that word experience, because what happens sometimes when you use the words experience is that we try to have an experience with God, and it's not about us trying to craft an experience with God. It's about having an encounter with God and let him determine the kind of experience we'll have with him. Did you catch the difference? Let him determine the kind of experience you'll have with him. It's an encounter with the being, the person of God. And then he may choose to show you peace. He may give you whatever it is. Let me just close with this one story. Back in February, we had gathered a bunch of the emerging generation from all over the world, over 100 of them, in Atlanta, Georgia. And we were all there for 3 or 4 days to learn about prayer, to learn about how to become a leader, how to lead others into the presence of God, how to do that and kind of deal with the issues. We looked at all kinds of topics. I was just there to pray with people. That's all I was there for. I love this age group coming up. I have a passion for them. I love being around them. And I remember at one point during the prayer time, we invited people up, and there was this one girl that was standing, and I was looking at her, and the Lord said very clearly, go pray for her and tell her she's not alone. Though in her struggle she feels alone, she is not alone. And so I went over to her, and I began to pray for her, and then I said, I sense the Lord saying this for you. And I told her what the Lord told me, and I told her. And she starts to cry, and she leaves. Whoop, and I'm going, oh boy, I hope everything's okay. But I wasn't too nervous. She sat down. Well, actually, it was the last night of the conference, and so we never got to talk. Well, she found my email, and she wrote me. And she said, I want to thank you for that time of prayer, because that was the thought that was in my head. And when you said what God was saying to me, it startled me, because I didn't think that God could be that real, that personal, that specific. And I went, wow. But isn't that like our God, to be that way? To be that personal, to be that good, to be that specific. And she was restored in her faith and her walk with God, that she is a daughter of God. Foster that environment. Go for it. Find out what happens. Does that sound good? You with me? Don't let that be foreign ground. Don't just sort of go, that's for other people. That's for the... I used to not like it when Ellen used to say to me, well, you have a special... She used to say this. You have a special relationship with God. You're just different. And I'm going, no, I renounce that. Because we all can be as close to God because we're co-heirs with Christ. And that makes us all the privileges in Christ we have. So she doesn't say that anymore. And so she has a relationship with God that I go, oh, I'd like to have that. You know, I'm learning in that area. Her faith is unbelievable. It's believable, I should say. You know, thanks for being here these last 2 weeks and spending some time with you. Been coming here for over 10 years, but the last 7 years a lot. So you've tolerated me. You've listened to lies and stories about me that are not true. I've learned to write checks now. I just want you to know that. I know how to write a check and pay for my phone bills correctly. I have learned that. But I do want to say this. I know a lot of pastors. I know a lot of people. James is the real deal. He knows how to hear God. He knows how to seek the Lord. He cares about you. He is stronger now in his faith and walk with God. And I need a friend like that. And I didn't feel like I was always a good friend these last few months. You know, I wanted to see him more, but we're going to head over there now. I might be short with you guys because I'm going to go see my buddy. And I want to get him back for that story that came out last week, too. So foster environments, get alone with God, and may you grow in your relationship. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, it's so good to call you by name, to call you Father. Thank you that your affections for us never wane. They never are thwarted. And though our souls sometimes are tattered and torn, you're a God that's after restoring our souls. Thank you that David prayed this prayer, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He leads me besides still waters and green pastures he will lead me. He restores my soul. So for your people here, God, would we restore our soul to that rightful place that we can encounter you as Moses, as your son A.B. Simpson, as others, Teresa, Mother Teresa, Teresa of Avila. And we want to go deeper and further with you. And we thank you that we haven't received the spirit that leads us to slavery, but we've received the spirit that calls us sons and daughters of God. And we're co-heirs with you. May we continue to press in more and more to you. We ask this in your name, God. Amen.